When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
How good is that guy?
Just incredible, Mike. That's how good he is. No, that's not. He's better than that. He is. Look, I wasn't alive when Steve Carlton did his 1972 thing. But I like to think this is kind of like that, except you got a great team instead of a bad team. Because 72 Phil stunk, and Carlton was the best of everybody. Well, look, Saquon's the best on this squad, but they're a great team. They have become a great team, 9-2, a tremendous win. Now, unfortunately, the win is, I don't want to say the win is marred by the Brandon Graham news, but the
it was very costly.
Sad. It's not just like it's not just about the rest of the year. It's just sad. You know that Brandon Graham may have played maybe his last game ever last night, and he played a great game. But we find out after the game he's injured, and we're going to get the NovaCare rehabilitation.
He said it was on a chip.
Yeah,
too.
He did say that. All right, NovaCare rehabilitation injury report in just a moment. But before that, let's listen to Brandon Graham after the game last night, because obviously one of the things we wonder is will he try to crank it up and play again next year? Very fresh last night when he answered this question, but here's how BG addressed it.
Have you thought about next year yet, whether you'll come back and play?
Man, just trying to process everything right now. I ain't got that far. But you know what? I'm going to keep my spirits up, keep enjoying it, man, because we got a special team right now. And it's time for some people to step on up, you know. But I'm happy just where we at. I'm happy as a team. And if anything, if I was going to go out, I'm happy with the way, you know, I played today. And, you know, I couldn't ask for nothing else, man, with this team that we got. We just got to stay focused. And I'm going to make sure that as far as, you know, me as a leader, I'm going to make sure my presence felt as far as that part.
All right, so a tremendous win, but obviously a really unfortunate situation with BG. For more on this, let's get the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Dr. Christopher Dotson, one of the great docs in our area, an orthopedic surgeon at Rothman Orthopedics in Bryn Mawr in Center City. He specializes in shoulder instability, ACL reconstruction, rotator cuff tears, elbow injuries, and he has healed my elbow injury about 3 or 4 years ago. And let's welcome him to the program right now, Dr. Dotson. Good morning, Dr. Dotson.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. It's always my pleasure. So look, I really didn't want to be talking about Brandon Graham out for the year, but obviously that's the thing. So let's get right to it. The concept of a tricep tear, as it relates to next season, if he tries to play again, what goes into this? What's your understanding of the severity, range?
Does it definitely mean that he's out?
Okay. Does it definitely mean he's out for the year? He announced he is. What's your sense of that, Doc?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, as you guys know, BG is one of the great humans I've certainly ever come across. He's an unbelievable athlete, but an even better person. So I was really, really bummed to hear him talk about it after the game, as you guys all heard. But, you know, so basically the triceps tendon, as you guys know, is a tendon on the back of the elbow. It's really what straightens your elbow. It's a group of muscles starting at the shoulder, comes all the way down the back of the arm, and attaches to that bony prominence that we all feel in our elbow. So it's really what gives you the ability to straighten your elbow with any kind of power. And so certainly for an elite athlete and an edge rusher like him, you know, any significant triceps tendon injury is relevant, because it would be hard to push off, to block,
punch,
et cetera.
He needs to punch.
Punch, exactly. Yeah, so that's a big deal. I mean, the fact that he said that he was out for the season implies, you know, unfortunately, it's certainly an injury that is relatively obvious. You can typically, the athlete can feel it, the examining physician can feel it. So that's why that he may have said that way, because he could probably feel, you know, that there's a lot of times a defect, you know, actually in a hole where it attaches, and he probably feels like he has no real strength pushing off or trying to straighten his elbow.
For an athlete in his mid-30s, if he tries to play again next year, what could it mean?
You know, I think it's certainly something that you can come back and play from. It's an injury we've seen in athletes and NFL players. It just takes some time. You know, my colleagues and I think back in 2015, we looked at this exact injury, triceps tears in NFL players through the NFL database. And these were all players who unfortunately did require surgery. They came back on average about 165 days. So do the math, that's probably about 5 months. That was the average time frame. So that's probably why he's saying he's done for the year, because I don't think with that time frame would be, you know, the season would be over. But I do think, you know, I wouldn't put anything past him. If he decided to play next year, I do think it's an injury that, you know, if he does in fact need surgery, he can come back and return to play from, should he desire.
Doc, were you able to see the mechanism of injury on this one?
You know, unfortunately, I missed it. I did not see it.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knows that during the game.
He said after the game he was chipped. It came from a chip. He was injured on a play where he was chipped. I was wondering if that would be a strange... getting chipped, you know, like a concussive injury, getting hit by someone, is that the type of thing that can contribute to the severity of the, you know, this type of injury? You know,
it all depends upon what his arm was doing when that happened, so to speak. So what often happens, the way we think about tendon avulsions occurring is, you know, when you contract a tendon, it basically shortens it. So for an example, for an elbow, that would be when you shorten the tendon, he would straighten the elbow. Well, imagine if you were, if it was being fired while it was being lengthened. So we think the opposite effect of what the tendon does while the tendon's firing, that kind of push-pull mechanism that one time.
Yeah.
So it depends what he was doing.
You said avulsion there. So you think this might be as severe as an avulsion?
Well, typically where the triceps attaches to the bone, you know, when that pulls off, we call that an avulsion.
Mm.
That's the most common way to injure it.
Okay.
And that would be what would require, you know, saying being out for the year or potential surgery. You can strain the muscle, so more up high, and that's more in the muscle itself. And those can be rehabbed or even a partial tear.
Sure.
But again, his tones made it seem like it was something that could potentially be obvious. So
very interesting. This is very interesting that you detected that, and that an avulsion, because we have talked about avulsions in the past and a defect. I have had this sort of thing where I avulsed my hamstring. I avulsed my pec. You know, and there's still, you can see it. You know, when I flex my hamstring, there's a big hole in the middle of it.
Brutal.
So what Doc is saying is Brandon probably, like when you look at his arm, there's probably a hole.
That's brutal. Brutal. Yeah. Hey, Dr. Dotson, I want to ask you one more if we can. NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. So obviously Slay with the concussion, we all kind of know at this point that reality. We'll see if he can go next week. But let's talk about Devontae for a second, the hamstring. So when AJ had his hamstring, he missed 3 games. Devontae has now missed 1. Any sense of the likelihood that someone like Devontae, a wide receiver, would be able to go next week, or do you think it's a multi-week injury?
You know, it all depends. I mean, it really depends upon the imaging. You know, we image hamstring strains in sports medicine to really get a sense of the grade. That's how we kind of classify them. And so, you know, hamstring strains are extremely common in the NFL, certainly extremely common in skilled players and like wide receivers. So it just depends upon what it looks like on the MRI. If the grade is low grade, meaning there's not a lot of fluid or injury to the hamstring, those can, you know, people can come back quicker versus more higher grade, it takes longer. You know, certainly in an elite athlete like Devontae, you know, a cutting, pivoting skill player, you have to be a little bit more cautious than, you know, because it's so easy to kind of have a recurrence, which is what we all worry about hamstrings, right? Every time you hear that, you want to make sure they get them back and not recurrence. So it all kind of depends on what the imaging shows, and, you know, functional testing, et cetera.
Maybe lighter hamstrings heal faster, and he's, you know, like at 165, so maybe it'll be quick.
Well, how about this one? Maybe they don't need him because they kick ass anyway, you know?
They sure do.
Hey, let me tell everyone listening, if you can't tell from what I'm saying here, Dr. Dotson and what he's saying knows his stuff, And if you have an issue, get to him, because RothmanOrtho.com, he's treated me, he's treated countless athletes in town for the various major teams. And Dr. Dotson, I appreciate you being a big part of the program today. Thank you, my man.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
All right,
thank
there
you,
he is, Doc. Dr. Christopher Dotson, and obviously follow his work, RothmanOrtho.com.
He sure knew his stuff.
If he can heal out my elbow, he can heal people.
Okay, I'm sure.
You had to be a dumb patient.
That correct.
Increased his caring. No, I thought that was really critical information right there. Like, if it is bad enough that immediately afterward he would say, yeah, I'm done for the year.
Yep. He knows.
This is a, tendon avulsion type injury.
It's
and
a shame.
I was just thinking, oh, maybe with the right rehab and treatment, he could come back for playoff run.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound that way.
All right.
He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. Uh-oh. He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
How good is that guy?
Just absolutely remarkable last night by Saquon. But I don't want that to obscure the rest of the team. It was a very complete team victory. I mean, this was clearly the best Eagles have played all season long. I thought there was no weakness in the game. I mean, the Eagles' pass rush was killing.
So wait, so do you believe that Jalen
He played a great game.
So which was it? Did you lower your impossible standard, or did he somehow play to it?
Well, I don't know what the I don't know what the impossible standard means. I know this. He played a great football game.
Your impossible standard previously was if he made a mistake, it was
That's ridiculous. I'm not entertaining that nonsense. But I'll say this. He played a great football game last night. He's playing a lot better than he did earlier this year. And with the way he's playing and they're playing, they can win the Super Bowl. I mean, there's no question. This team, Lions, they look great. Ravens, they'll play them next week. It's not even a team a lot of people consider top four. They're, very legit. KC, all they do is win. I mean, obviously, you got other teams.
But
like,
they don't intimidate.
Don't intimidate.
Well, they're like the Eagles last year. That's what it feels like.
I agree.
Panthers.
I totally agree. All right, so we have a Twitter poll that speaks to that. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Red tag bonus cash on every new Armin Chevrolet Equinox and soon. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Visit ArminChevy.com. Here's the poll question. We assess the Eagles versus the rest of the best. Which team is the best? Is it A, the Eagles, B, Buffalo, C, Detroit, or D, Kansas City? Now, that poll doesn't have the Ravens, which, if we had a fifth choice, probably would be. And maybe the Ravens are even better than KC. Maybe. But we put those four teams in the poll. Who's the best? Obviously, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. I thought last night
the Steelers beat the Ravens.
The Steelers beat the Ravens. That's
and
right. That's right.
They'll play again. And
yeah. But look, best game the Eagles have played, obviously, since the NFC Championship game against San Fran. Or put another way, since the first half of the Super Bowl against Kansas City, which wasn't a full game. Unfortunately, it was 30 minutes. The Eagles are awesome. There was no part of the team last night that wasn't. I thought Sirianni made the right decisions early, saying let's kick the field goals. Obviously, Jake Elliott banged him through. Jalen was in control the whole time. His legs are way better than they were a month or two ago. He's really making plays with both his legs and his arm.
I thought Collinsworth did a good job of describing how that must feel for a defense.
Yeah.
He did a good job. And I've tried to get that across. Standing on the sideline as an offense-only player, I started noticing this when I went off to college.
Yep.
And I would get so mad. I would get so mad standing on the sideline against a guy like Cordell Stewart. Because you did everything. Our defense was perfect. Man, they kicked ass. Everyone nailed their assignment.
The right position.
And he still got a first down anyway.
Yeah.
And he just kept doing it. And it just kept doing it. He would break the system because he just had this supreme athleticism that allowed him to step outside. It was almost like he was in the Matrix and we weren't.
Well, look, so here's the deal. Jalen's doing that and Saquon's doing that times three. I mean, what Saquon is doing right now, beating defenders. Remember when Miles Sanders wouldn't break a tackle? Like, he was pretty good, but he couldn't break a tackle.
And remember when people said Miles Sanders was good, and we were saying Miles Sanders leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
Holy cow. And it has been sort of a gradual increase.
Right.
Like, let's bump up the quality of these running backs. And now the quality of this running back is he might be the most exciting and complete and, geez, unstoppable force. A running back, we've seen, well, Derrick Henry sit atop the heap.
Well, in present day, for sure. But now you start wondering where Saquon ranks against the greats in their best years ever. The Walter Paytons, the O.J. Simpsons, the Earl Campbells. I mean, there's statistics, and then there's beyond statistics. Because, you know, some players didn't have great offensive lines. Saquon obviously is great and has a great offensive line.
Did you see the stat?
Some guys didn't have that.
The yards before contact stat that they put up during the game?
Yes.
Giants career, it was 1.4 yards before contact for Saquon. Now with the Eagles through 11 games, 2.6 yards per contact.
Unbelievable.
Yards per.
Yeah.
So that's 1.2 yards more before anyone touches you. You know what that means when you are as explosive as Saquon Barkley?
Yep.
That 1.2 yards, that of acceleration, if no one's touching you.
I'm with you, man.
You are now untouchable. Like, because no one touched you for that additional 1.2,
sure,
you are now untouchable because you're Saquon Barkley. And once you get moving, it is every single direction can be full speed.
Wild.
And no one can keep up. And so, no one wants to try to wrap their arms around you and tackle you because you're too tough.
Saquon last night, 255 yards rushing. He also had 47 yards receiving. He's obviously squarely in the MVP race. All right, let's go to the phones. By the way, Saquon with Jalen Hurts after the game. Great interview on NBC right after the game. We'll get to that shortly.
It was joyous.
It was.
It was truly joyous. And it was Jalen. If you haven't heard it, you got to listen. And imagine Jalen smiling ear to ear. Jalen smiling so hard he just couldn't contain it because he's looking across the way at a guy who's talking who can lead us to the promised land.
I agree with
that. Who can take us to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. And Jalen, the stoic, started laughing.
I saw it. It was
started
great.
Started laughing and had to be asked, hey, what's going on over there? Are you okay?
All right, we're going to get to that in a moment. Let's go to the phones right now. Plus, the unfortunate and really horrible reality of Brandon Graham being out for the year. We'll get to what BG said after the game. If you're just waking up to that news, that's true. Brandon announced after the game the torn tricep, and he's out for the season. Obviously, we wonder if that means is he done for his career. That'll be an off-season issue. We'll see. But you know, very unfortunate. All right, Corey in Pottstown right now. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful Monday morning it is.
It really is, Corey. It really is.
Let me get the bad taste out of my mouth first. It was so bad for me, first of all, to admit that Chris Collinsworth was actually gushing over the Eagles yesterday. And the fact that I had a roof, I was
he does a good job.
He's a great
Corey.
Broadcaster. Their pregame show stinks, but he's a great announcer.
I am not a fan at all.
Collinsworth or the pregame?
Collinsworth.
He's phenomenal.
Rhea, I wasn't a fan either, but whatever fandom I didn't have for him, he made up last night because he was gushing over the Eagles.
He can see things that very few people can see, and I don't know how he does it.
But
he
takes
it all in.
But I don't like that he influenced NBC to hire his son. I thought when you got him and the Sims kid, it's okay if a kid gets a job if they merit it. I don't think either of them merit it. I just don't think they're good.
Ian Eagle's kid is very good.
He is good.
I don't think Collinsworth's kid.
I mean, Collinsworth's kid sounds like he should be doing college TV.
Correct.
Like he doesn't sound at all like someone we should hear on a national broadcast. Anyway, go ahead, Corey.
So I got three quick points, and then I have a decamerism that I have to let go on.
Mm.
First of all, it's so nice to have a home game in L.A. When you're out there playing because that – we took over that stadium.
Oh,
holy moly,
nice.
That was an awesome game.
How percentage-wise, what would you say it was?
He wasn't there.
I think it was like 70-30.
Wow.
Oh, you could hear the cheers through the TV.
It was big.
They showed a couple of shots of all the green. Also, point two, the fact that maybe I missed it all season, but what a great screen pass that was. To see the Eagles go back to a screen pass, that
was
fantastic.
We got a back who can execute that. That was, and the timing, again, that's, Kellen Moore needs to be credited for somehow. There was some uncannily timed play calls that felt really great. Just
hey, Corey, give me your third point real quick,
right,
my man.
Time.
My third point, my bad to the bone goes to Jalen Carter for taking on all those double teams that allow guys to get that pass rush. And let me give you a decamerism from Friday.
Yep.
Joe was so scared about going to L.A. and a player getting hurt to end the season.
Well, it wasn't Friday. I think I said that on Tuesday or Wednesday, but I got you. Yeah, don't blame me for the Brandon Graham injury. But it is notable, John. That's where Carson got injured, what, 7 years ago?
Immediately thought of that.
Yeah, yep. I did too. Did you think of me? I hope not.
No, I actually didn't. I try not to think of you when I'm not. No. he mentioned Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
He was getting held a lot last night, and they were not. And then they're calling ticky-tack pass interference
calls. The first two touchdowns the Rams got were totally bogus. It should have been field goal. Neither one of them was a pass interference.
It was a joke. Isaiah Rodgers was not great. But some of the stuff, man.
Yeah, that was light, man. That was really,
I felt
really
like
light.
It was ticky tack.
It was light. All right, let's listen. Maybe if he were
a more well-renowned player, he wouldn't have got those flags.
Or renowned.
Renowned.
Let's listen to Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley with NBC after the game. Entertaining interview. These two guys, obviously, big smiles after a big win.
All smiles down here. Jalen, you are now on a 7-game win streak. What is this team capable of?
We just got to keep building. We got to keep building. You know, momentum is the fakest thing out there because it can end and begin at any moment. And so we just want to continue to build, learn from our mistakes, and play good ball. Play good ball.
Speaking of playing good ball, can you explain what it is like to have Saquon Barkley on your team?
the laugh and the smile should say it all. He's a hell of a player. He's the best in the league. He's the best at what he does.
And he had a career high in rushing yards tonight, 255. What was working for you?
255.
What do you think, Jalen?
You're a bad man.
it goes up front. The guys up front did an excellent job. We went in the half knowing that we were laying on them, and the run game was going to pop open. So just continue to trust in the scheme, trust in those guys, and they make me look a lot better out there.
Well, you told me earlier that you're having the most fun now and that you're letting yourself celebrate. We saw you blow a kiss to the crowd. How much fun is all of this?
I got a fresh start. I'm around a great group of guys. The whole organization is amazing from top to bottom. And welcomed me in with open arms. So I'm having fun. I'm ready to go out there and continue to play at a high level and get ready for next week.
Jalen's laughing over here. Why are you laughing?
Just enjoying the moment. Got a hell of a player. We're going to need him to continue to play the way he's playing and continue to build. But hell of a player. Happy to have him.
All right, that's Jalen Hurts and Saquon, and obviously with Melissa Stark postgame last night. Tremendous job. Now, unfortunately, the win, as tremendous as it was, there is the really horrible news that Brandon Graham's out for the year. Let's listen as BG broke this news last night to the media in the locker room shortly after the game. I know a lot of people went to sleep. I'm sure there are any number of thousands of you listening right now, finding out right now, if you're just tuning in, Brandon Graham is out for the season. Here's his announcement after the game last night.
I tore my tricep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got chipped. Got hit in my elbow, tore my tricep, but man, hey, like I told the boys, man, we got the missing. You know, we pour everything we can into this game. You know, if I say I trust God. So, man, I'm just enjoying myself. I'm about to enjoy this little rehab, and then I'm about to enjoy leading the team, you know, the rest of the year. As soon as I can be back out there, I'm going to be out there. But, man, we was having fun out there. And we still going to have fun. But, I'm definitely, as a player, I'm out for the year.
All right, you can hear his disappointment, but also his positivity. It's incredible. I mean, the guy is one of the...
I don't know how he does that. I don't either,
John. He's out for the year.
You're out for the year because you got this deformity. Like, you can tell. It's bad. You know, it's bad.
Yeah,
you're done.
They didn't wait till Monday to announce it or Wednesday. Like, he knew. He's done.
Mm.
We all wondered.
He's saying,
like,
he's excited about moving forward.
For rehab. Seltzer, you excited for rehab? Who the hell is excited for rehab?
It's hard. Nobody, ever.
It's really hard.
This guy, James, put into words the Brandon Graham thing from your perspective.
He is so unique as a human being.
Yep.
I mean, I consider myself a pretty positive guy. I try to bring a positive outlook and be in a good mood and all that. And I pale in comparison to this guy. If that were me, like, there's no possible way I would sound like that. It's amazing to see the way he goes about his business.
When I was injured for the season, I was on crutches. It was in Detroit. I was inconsolably just bawling my eyes out in the shower by myself. knowing it was over maybe forever. You know, like it's a season-ending injury.
Yeah.
It's catastrophic.
And for him, it really, really, really,
absolutely,
really might be forever.
At 36 years old, yeah. It's how do you know that it's even possible to return from this?
Now, I think
those questions are bouncing around in his head.
Sure.
And he's saying, I can't wait to get after the rest of this season with my teammates.
Yeah. I like to think that how well he was playing was going to lead to him being back. And then how we would want him back.
I think it's possible. Yeah. I think this reinforces everyone's love and support.
No question
about that. Yeah. And maybe that helps too.
Yeah. But it's a sad situation. And it hurts the team. No question. Because he was great last night.
He was playing better than we've seen in years. He was physically dominant.
Incredible.
The power that he was generating this year, he was striking people and shocking them.
All right. So one more from Brandon after the game, because you wonder, like, how in the heck did it happen? I mean, you see him sitting on the bench at one point being tended to, but we had no idea during the broadcast he was going to be out for the year. Here's his explanation of what happened.
It was a pass play. The running back came and chipped me right on, like, right here on my arm. And I thought it was just, like, you know, because I was been dealing with my tricep anyway, just from, like, you know, just from pushing people. You know, you get a little tendonitis. But this time it was different. Like, you know, he hit me and it was stung a little longer. And then when they tried to examine me, I knew someone, right? And he told me. And, you know, I just tried to process it out there and then end up leaving off, you know, call my wife and, you know, just let her know the news and, you know, kids crying. But it's like, look, at the end of the day, man, it is what it is. No sense of crying about it. Just got to know that I put everything into it. It hurt, but I'm telling you, like, I'm going to be better from it.
What a tremendous disappointment. But what a guy.
I hadn't heard that before. That's interesting. He was suffering from tendonitis in that tricep already, which I can tell you from experience, the longer you play, the more accustomed you get to just dealing with
tendonitis. Well, he's
played
more games than any Eagle, so yes. Let's start with that reality.
Tendonitis in places that he never complains about, never talks about, yep. But he's handling that on a daily basis. I think it's interesting that it was already bothering him. It could have contributed to the fact that when it got hit, it was a little wonky to where it could tear.
Yep. Now, so, look, it's a sad thing, but it was a great game. And obviously, Brandon will be, I'm sure, just like Jason Peters was, you know, back in 2017, you know, as a guy helping the other players, you know, basically becoming a coach, so to speak. I'm sure BG will take on that role.
No,
not that he didn't already, but now he'll have more time for it. Also,
the loss of leadership is just so huge.
It's big.
He provided for those young kids along that
line.
No,
it's big. The other thing is, you know, we'll find out later today, perhaps after our show or tomorrow, if he's part of our show tomorrow, because obviously he's normally with us on Tuesdays from 7:40 to 8:10. And I would imagine still will be if he isn't dealing with surgery or rehab or whatever. So we'll see tomorrow if he's part of the show. But obviously, anytime he's able to do it, we look forward to talking to him. And we love, and I speak not just for us here, four of us. I mean, Philadelphia, surrounding community, we all love Brandon Graham and want to see nothing but good things for him. So, all right, so BG out. The team, though, marches on 9-2, playing great ball. Bat of the Bone Award shortly, Merrill Montage shortly, plus Ray Dittinger at 7:55 today. Let's go to Bashir right now. Bashir, you're on WIP.
Joe, John, guys, how y'all doing today?
Doing well, Bashir.
Generally pretty excited. Bummed on BG, but what a victory, man. Holy hell.
Is your name Bashir?
Basir.
You
always go. Joe's always going to say my name wrong. It don't even matter.
Basir. That's why I wanted to ask.
All right. Well, James, Basir. Put an H on here. I need B-A-H. Like, bah. I need one of them, and then I'll know.
Really?
Yeah.
B-A is
I won't remember. If he calls in 3 weeks, I won't remember. Put an H, and I got it.
But, no, I think, you know, I think the point I found in this game is, you know, with Saquon, you never be too thirsty to have, like, your moment. Like, the man had 302 total yards, and he could have had his most yardage in a Giants game, but he was so, like, he wanted other people to eat, and I'm just proud that he had finally got his moment.
Well, I'd say this, he got his moment in a big way, in this sense. He really elevated the MVP push last night, because that was national TV, it was Eagles record-setting, it was almost NFL record-setting. He's now on pace to break Dickerson's record for the most yards ever in a season. Like, he last night elevated himself big time.
No doubt.
Now, And then I will say the BG thing definitely, it definitely hurts. But, you know, I think it gives more room for guys like maybe Huff, Nolan Smith. I think
Jalix Hunt needs to be good in a hurry. And
Nolan Smith.
That's asking a lot.
And Nolan Smith, I mean, they're the guys.
They need to pick up. They're going to have more reps, all of them. And the thing that's crazy is they've been out there. They've actually been out there on the field, and it's almost like they're hard to find at times because they're so quiet.
But I'll say this. They must be doing something right, though, the combination, because the defense has picked it up. So these guys can't be sieves.
But we're not getting Jalix Hunt any production.
Well, look, Bryce Huff is off the map for the time being while he's out. I mean, right now what you're down to is Josh Sweat, who's had a good last month. He really has played well. You've got Nolan Smith and you've got Jalix Hunt. That's it. And then you're going to be popping some guys.
And you've got Moro Ojomo, who I think can swing back and forth inside and outside. But there's not much left. And inside you got Jordan Davis, who you know is the run stopper, and the Thomas Booker, the fourth.
Look, I want to see him win a Super Bowl. Seltzer, can they call Chris Long? How old is he?
Yeah, sure. I would take him to
Chris Long's like 210 pounds now.
Don't care.
What about Clyde Simmons? Can they get Clyde or Trent or one of these guys? I mean, listen, they are light right there. And PG was playing
very
great.
Much
all right,
so.
Let's do what we do right around this time every Monday. When it's a loss, it's a blame ball. When it's a win, it's a game ball. Either way, it's the Bad of the Bone Award. And this, of course, the badass variety, the we kicked your ass type of Bad of the Bone Award, otherwise known as a game ball. We'll hand a couple out here. John, who are you giving a game ball to?
I think it's kind of automatic. When our run game goes the way Saquon made it go.
Yep.
Man, it really is special. He's the most exciting back I can remember watching. It takes me back to like childhood. That level of holy cow, what is he going to do when he gets the ball in his hands? It really, man, it's so special. This guy is going to continue to do what appear to be magical things because it's sustainable. This offensive line, they destroy the defensive line. They mash them, blow them off the ball. It's like a raft that just moves downfield. Saquon rides that raft and then enters the rest of the ocean and it's over.
His cuts, though, were also incredible.
Oh, and
I don't know how
unlikely.
He does that.
They're so sharp. The sharpness, the abruptness, the unexpectedness of those cuts. And then he's in the open.
Yeah.
And then he's got what looks like 4.25 speed to take it the distance every time.
It's wild. Seltzer, game ball, who are you giving it to?
Yeah, pretty easy after Saquon, I think. I'm not missing the opportunity to potentially give Brandon Graham his last Bad to the Bone Award. And it's not just that he got hurt. He was awesome.
Yep.
I said it earlier.
Yeah.
It's one of the best games Brandon Graham has ever played in an Eagles uniform. He was all over the field. He was so awesome last night. So, obviously I would give it to him anyway, but he deserved it with his play. He was phenomenal.
Totally agree. Rhea, there's some deserving choices still left. What do you got here?
I'm going to go with the Eagles offensive line because basically, you know, what Saquon's been able to do behind that line. You know, he's got, John, you had mentioned the yards before contact. The game last night, 213 rushing yards before contact. This season, 616 yards before contact. The holes that they're opening for him, and he's way more explosive than I've ever been. But I think you really got to give credit to what the offensive line is doing in terms of opening those holes.
So look, I still got three or four names written down here. I'll go with this because I think it's really deserving. And I thought it was his best game of the year last night. Jalen Hurts was phenomenal. He was totally in control. You know, obviously it helps to have the line and it helps to have, you know, the running back and it helps to have AJ. But Hurts was awesome. His running lately has been great. I don't, you know, as soon as he threw that incompletion that ultimately wouldn't have counted, even if it had been completed to Goddard in the end zone because Dotson was lined up offside. Like, when he missed that, I said to Amy from Villanova, I'm like, that's no big deal because he normally completes that. That's never been, to me, the issue. Like, the accuracy, he's fine with that stuff. It was deciphering what's going on, getting the ball out. And last night, he was much better at it. He has been over the last three or four weeks. He's making great strides. He's also running more and running more effectively. He's in command. His tush pushes are a major part of what they do. I mean, it's part of how they run their operation because it gives them the ability on third downs and second downs to run certain types of plays, knowing they still got that in their back pocket. He has played for a couple weeks now so much better and less than I thought was clearly his best game of the year. Now, I do want to give one honorable mention because I actually thought Jalen was going to be off the board by the time it got to me. I just want to give an honorable mention to Howie Roseman. And let me tell you why. So I'm watching that game last night, and I'm watching certain players succeed for the Eagles. And I'm thinking, think how many of these guys on their way in the door were doubted by many of us on their way in the door, but how we chose them. It starts, obviously, with Jalen Hurts and the draft pick. Right? I mean, that was the most criticized draft pick ever in Philadelphia sports history. Okay, let's start with that. Let's talk about Landon Dickerson. I mean, this was a guy that had, three ACL tears? And people are like, you can't draft that guy. He is unbelievable. Let's talk about Saquon. Everybody knew Saquon was good. I didn't know he was this great. I'd say probably none of us knew he was this great. But even those that believed in him as a player thought, $13 million a year for a running back? I don't know about that. A.J. Brown, very similar. You knew you were getting a great player, but $100 million for a wide receiver? Some people were in, some people are out. He nailed that one. I mean, how about keeping Sirianni? Now, ultimately, it's a Lurie call, but I guarantee you Howie Roseman had a hand in it. I mean, if you go through the roster and I look at my team versus your team, the other team obviously being the Rams, I mean, the Eagles won this game for a whole bunch of reasons last night, and Saquon's the biggest. Well, maybe the biggest is just the Eagles are just a superior team. So Howie Roseman deserves a lot of credit. But again, the parts of the team last night, I mean, there were so many dominant. A.J. was dominant. Jalen was dominant. Saquon was dominant. It was nuts. All right, the Merrill montage, how it sounded last night here on WIP.
The offense was dominant in large part because of the effort of everyone else around Saquon, too. I thought that was spectacular last night. The effort given by guys that no one even watches, guys who are playing H-back. You know, like the third tight end.
But the blocking was great.
The wide receivers downfield blocking.
Brayton Covey had a great block on one of Saquon's long runs.
My point, exactly. Yeah. Everyone was getting after it, doing that dirty work that no one sees.
And by the way, Cooper DeJean with plays on defense.
Awesome. No, it
incredible.
Well, Cooper DeJean is next level good to be able to do. This is slot cornerback as a rookie to begin with.
Incredible.
It's amazing. But on the offensive side of things, it just continues to amaze me and grow. I wanted to say earlier, Kellen Moore got into a rhythm in this game where he was almost predictive. He would expect the blitz and call a play that would take full advantage of the blitz. Not just the fact that it was a blitz, but the place that it was a blitz. And it just felt really, I felt really good for him, feeling like he was, man, just a master of his domain.
He was on
yesterday.
It, man. He was on, I don't know about that reference. But yeah.
I don't know. What is that?
Reference? You don't know? You don't know Seinfeld?
I don't remember.
Okay. No. Seltzer, you want to help him out?
The contest, buddy. Come on.
We'll let that one go. All right, let's go to the phones. All right, Merrill Montage shortly, plus Ray Dittinger in about 10 minutes. Chuck in Mount Airy right now. What's going on, Chuck?
Yo, John and Rhea. How you doing today?
Great, Chuck.
Hey, listen, I just want to say this, right? Saquon, he's a monster. He's like a cyborg. But you know why Saquon got off like that? No, I'm serious. Like, you know, Kellen Moore is a genius. And I was telling anybody with two ears that would listen to me when he first came here, this guy's going to change this offense. See what Kellen Moore did, right? See, everybody's game and plan is to stop Saquon. Kellen Moore came out and said, you know what? I know you guys are going to game plan to stop Saquon, but I got news for you. I've got a passing game, too. So he passed the ball, you know, the first couple drives to loosen up that defense. And then, boom, you got a running back behind you that can go for 70, 80 yards that can break it for you. But see, he loosened that defense up. To be able now you don't know where you know now you don't know who to stop. Now this team is now they're destined. They're destined, and the defense is just
well. They're not destined, but they put themselves in position to have a good shot.
This is Saquon is going to change. Is going to I hope change the market for backs. Change the perception of backs. Think about how the NFL has become all about big plays now. It's all about getting big plays. It's all about stopping big plays. He is a big play. Just Saquon, like, and you don't even have to scheme it. Like, well, okay, no. you scheme the blocking in front of it, but you know, pass routes where you have to break guys open downfield, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about the ball traveling through the air and possibly being intercepted. You hand the ball to him as the safest transmission form possible, and he takes it to the house. That's a beautiful, beautiful feature that we have not enjoyed to this degree ever.
Yeah, ever.
You know, I called Celts and I called ESP a couple weeks ago, and I said, listen, I dreamed that he broke the season single record. Now, he's right there. He's right there. And, Joe, listen, don't get too cocky.
He can do it.
Because we need Devontae Smith, Joe.
Oh, I was joking. Of course we want to see Devontae play.
Yeah, because you get when we need to go. Listen, I'll tell you, this team right now is the best team in football, and I tell you because of their physicality. The offensive line is great.
The defensive line is great.
And I tell you, this secondary is second to none. And I want to cry. BG, my heart out to you, brother. We're going to win it for you, though, while you're on the sideline, man. Just keep coaching up those young guys, man. Let's go, Birds. B-A-G-L-E-S. Let's go, Birds. Peace.
Chuck, great call, man. Speaking of great calls, Merrill and Mike had a bunch of them last night. Let's listen to how it sounded here on WIP. A thrilling Eagles victory. A dominant performance by all phases of the team. Merrill and Mike called it. We're going to need a montage.
We're going to need a montage.
If the Eagles are going to have the best conference record and number one seed, this game against the Rams is a big game.
Hurts back to Barkley, and Barkley just drags people with him. Back to Barkley again. Barkley takes it to the outside. He's at the 35 and steps out of bounds at the 30. I don't know how he regained his balance. He looked like he was about to hit the ground. He was like at a 90-degree angle.
Hurts.
This time, gives off to Barkley, who tries to sweep, comes across the 30, carries people down with him. Boy, is he tough. Hurts. He's looking. He is firing. And it is caught for a touchdown! A.J. Brown! Zaffer backpedals. Here comes the rush. He's hit! They got him!
BG.
Oh, was he walloped by Brandon Graham. He never saw him coming, Mike.
Unbelievable job. Off the edge by Brandon Graham.
We have reached the end of the first half with the score. The Eagles, 13-7. This time it goes to Barkley up the middle, across the 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 70 yards.
He was shot out of a cannon.
He fires. He completes it, and running is Barkley down to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, to the 15.
He's a hell of a player. He's the best in the league. He's the best at what he does.
It goes to Gainwell. He wiggles to the 5. He's into the touchdown. He's in for the touchdown.
You're not going to lose a lot with Kenny G.
Stafford, hands off inside, and getting trapped and dropped and thrown back this time is William.
Brandon Graham, once again, Merrill, he's the first guy there. He's the disruptor. It's BG getting into the Rams' backfield once again.
Back goes Stafford. Here comes the rush. They've got him again! There is Milton Williams.
Yeah, this offensive line cannot block the Eagles' bigs up front.
He gets it to Barkley, who cuts outside.
Uh-oh.
He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, his all-time record, 72 yards.
How good is that guy?
That is an all-time Eagles record, breaking the record of Shady McCoy. He is breaking it. He buried it. Oh, my goodness. And the final score, the Eagles, 37, the Rams, 20.
Well, just an absolutely historic performance by Saquon last night. And I'm telling you, even if he hadn't, it would still be a dominant win. Because the Eagles in all phases, pass rush, quarterback, wide receivers, special teams, I mean, they just thoroughly decimated the Rams. And obviously, Saquon was just beyond bonanza. All right, so Ray Dinninger in a moment. Before we get to that, and of course, I'll remind you, you can join us, 215-592-9494. A couple Saquon facts. Just to set the stage for what last night represented and what the rest of the season could represent. All right, let's start with this fact. With 1,392 rushing yards, and that's what he's got right now through 10 games, John. 1,392.
Right.
Excuse me, 11 games. 1392.
He's got six left.
He right now is fifth for the Eagles single season rushing. So the all-time Eagles season single rushing leader is LeSean at 1607. Saquon, barring injury, is going to blast past that. So he trails LeSean, Wilbert, Ricky, and another Wilbert, you know, season. So Saquon, obviously, barring injury, is going to finish with the highest total in Eagles team history for a single season. Now let's talk about game history. Saquon last night had the ninth most yards ever as a running back in an NFL game at 255 last night. Eight have been higher than him. Adrian Peterson holds the record at 296. He did that back in 2007. Saquon last night came 41 yards from the all-time record in pro football history for a single game. Now let's get to where the conversation's also starting to move, John. Single season NFL rushing record. Here's the reality. Through 11 games, Saquon, 1392. He is on pace for 2151. If he gets to that, he will set the NFL single season rushing record, which is held and has been held now for 40 years by Eric Dickerson.
2105 or
something? 2105. So Dickerson, 2105 back in 84. Now, reminder to those, perhaps if you're young and don't know, that was when, well, you should know, that was when the NFL had 16 games. Saquon obviously will have the advantage of 17, you know, if he can play them all. But Dickerson, 2105.
He can get to 2106 in five games.
No, he can. He needs 714 yards in six games to break it. So the 2,000-yard backs through the years have been, and I'm going from top to bottom, Dickerson, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Lewis, Barry Sanders, Derrick Henry, Terrell Davis, Chris Johnson, and of course the OG is OJ. OJ Simpson getting to 2,003 yards in a 14-game season. He's the only one to do it in 14 games. Saquon, obviously, the advantage of three extra games. But he has a real shot now for the all-time single-season rushing record. All right.